1 Thessalonians 3:1-13. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all of our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith? Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints.
Thank you, Megan. Let's just close our eyes as we pray. Lord God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us see tonight, Lord. Open our eyes, open our hearts to see what you want to teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like you can see, the title of my sermon tonight is Good News, and I'm sure as Megan was reading these wonderful verses in 1 Thessalonians, you picked up on the good news that we want to talk about tonight. After church this morning, I was buying chicken for my family, because Sundays, that's what we do most often. We buy chicken and buns, because we don't have time for food, because we have like 2 hours at home, then we have to leave again. And so while I was buying chicken, I bought the newspaper. It's the only one that was left, so I didn't have much of a choice. And I don't know when last you bought a newspaper and read the paper. Who here reads the news? Who's news to report junkies? You don't have to be ashamed. Yes? Well, news is out there, and I like news, but it's always bad news. Have you noticed? There's never, when it's good news, I skip the good news stories when I read the news. It's weird. But bad news, this newspaper article, Supra faces exit. You all know what that is about. Death hits Corolla's family. Feud over Winnie's legacy. I heard them crying out for help. Terrible articles. And if you go through the paper, you'll find article after article of bad news. And that's life. That's the world we live in. Tonight we want to talk about good news. We've been listening to sermons on the book of Thessalonians thus far. And so you guys have a bit of a background already. Where we are tonight, Timothy Paul is talking about the time he sent Timothy to find out more about how the church was doing. And I don't know if you noticed in those early verses, Paul was very anxious to know how they were doing. And it's almost like when you wait for news and you don't know what it's going to be. When the ANC had its conference last year, December, and who was going to be president? And did you guys also watch the news? And I was excited. I was excited to know who will it be. So Paul was very anxious and maybe excited as well to learn, to receive word from Timothy about these people that he loved in Thessalonica. And when he sends Timothy out, the one thing he wants to hear as we see that in verse 5, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith. That was important. That's what he wanted to know. You know, he didn't ask, how was it at varsity? How's varsity? How are you doing at work? He didn't ask about the kids and all the children well. He didn't ask, are you healthy? Is everybody healthy? Well, not that those things are unimportant, but all other things in our life should come second, the distant second, when it comes to faith, compared to our faith. And that's what was very important to Paul. When we connect and interact casually, we too must not neglect the importance of our faith. You know, we have casual conversations. I have casual conversations with people. And it's easy never to talk about your faith, isn't it? We talk about so many other things. We're interested in so many things. But faith is in the background. Paul was a different kind of guy. When you met Paul, faith, he wanted to know, where do you stand with Jesus? What is happening to your faith? And that's the first thing we must know about Paul and why he was so anxious to hear this news. Are these people still following Jesus? He was concerned for them. You know, and people always say Paul is selfish and proud when you read his letters, but it's not true. You get a sense of how he loved them and his passion for them, wanting to know if they were okay. But there's good news, and we see that Timothy brought good news. And the first part of this good news that he brought is that their faith and love was evident. It says, he brought us the good news of your faith and love. Now, it's not the first time that Paul talks about love and faith. We read in Colossians 1 verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Galatians 5 and 6 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. That was important. Obviously, that's important to Paul and should be important to us. And it's always good news when people have love and faith. We see that Paul feared that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Because there is a battle going on, and the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the evil one, who wants to tempt people away from Christ. So this is good news that these people still believed. That these people not only believed, but that through their lives they loved one another. And we heard earlier, and I think at Yanni's sermon, he spoke to us about the example of this church, not only to those in the church, but churches from outside. People from outside looked at this church and they were a great example. So this is good news. The second part of the good news is that they longed to see Paul. Paul is just a man like us. And it's good to see that. He wanted them to also miss him. Now, when you're young and you like a girl or a guy, you want them to like you back. Isn't it true? No, I don't see no head shaking. There's absolute denial going on here tonight. You are all liars. It's normal human behavior to have a relationship with someone, but also for them to have that relationship back with you, and for there to be a reciprocal kind of a relationship going on, I love you and you love me. But Paul have invested so much time into these people. He worked hard to plant that church, and he wanted them to succeed. But Paul was not always popular. You can just read Corinthians to find that out. He was not always popular after he left. And he left kind of in a hurry because they were in danger. So he wasn't sure about where he stood with them. So that was good news that they wanted to see him as well. One thing I think we can learn from this is that Paul kept in contact with people. He didn't just forget about it. He planted a church and then, yeah, you guys just go on. No, he always kept in contact with the people that he met, the people he interacted with. And I think it's a lesson we can learn, because sometimes you meet people at a wedding or you meet people somewhere and you say hi and you say bye and you know, you never see them again and you lose contact. Sometimes people are friends in church and they move away and we lose contact. And I was very challenged by this and I thought that's something I need to work on, to make sure that I keep contact with other people. Not only people that are moved away or that we've lost contact with, but also people in church. Make sure we contact one another. I once had a friend that said that he was my friend, but whenever I wanted to speak to him, he never wanted to speak to me. That's not a friend. You can probably understand why. But it wasn't the friendship if it's just one-sided. So I think let's learn from that. So this good news that of their love and their faith, the good news that they wanted also to see Paul and be with him, what effect did it have on Paul? And we see Paul's response to this good news. We see that he was filled with thanksgiving. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? Because Paul knew it was God. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Paul, my great work, the work I did while I was planting that church. It wasn't me. I thank God that you guys are still following after Jesus. He was grateful for that. But we also see it, the secondly, Paul's response is he prayed. We read that he says, yeah, as we prayed most earnestly, night and day. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul was just praying right through the day, night, day. You find Paul, he's praying somewhere in a corner. What he means is he was praying regularly. Regularly praying for you. I've always been reminded of our time together, and I'm praying for you regularly, earnestly, passionately, praying for you. This is Paul giving us a glimpse of his prayer life, and I think it's good to know that I pray for you guys. I genuinely pray for you. And I hope we pray for one another. I hope you pray for me. I hope you pray for the guy and the girl that's behind you. The people you don't even know in church, you know. You know their name, but you don't know them like you know your friends. Paul never forgot these people. He always remembered them in his prayers. But we see what he prays as we look inside this prayer life of Paul. We see that he says that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. So Paul is praying that God will give him opportunity to see them face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now wait a minute. He just had received good news of their faith. Why? Then he tells them, by the way, I hope I can come see you so that I can sort out what's lacking in your faith. Like, sounds a bit rude, doesn't it? No, it's not rude. What he's trying to say is, man, you guys are doing well. You're still following after Jesus. But I know that you have room to grow. There are still things that you must learn. If I grabbed you after the service and I pulled you aside and I said, listen here, can we meet this week? I just wanted to supply what is lacking in your faith. How would you receive that? Some of you would be angry. I know. How dare you say that I lack in my faith? I think we all need to know that even great things aren't perfect. None of us are. We all have room to grow. Recently watched the Commonwealth Games. Did anybody watch the Commonwealth Games? And there was this one race I watched, a long distance race, and One of these athletes was in front of the others, like way in front, way ahead of them. But you know what? Even though that one athlete was in front of the others, they all still had a few laps to go. She wasn't done. And even when you're in front, you're not finished with the race. Even those in front still need to finish the race. All of us need to grow in our faith. We all lack. We all need to improve. When you go to the doctor, you don't just want him to give you good news. To give you a good diagnosis, isn't it? You want the doctor to give you an honest diagnosis. Isn't that what you want? You go to the doctor and you've got a heart problem and he says, man, you're going to be fine, don't worry. You're a machine. But you die in the week because you have a heart attack. No, you want the doctor to say, listen here, dude, we're going to the hospital now. You're not doing well. And as Christians, we need to be able to receive that. I hope you hear me tonight. We have to be able and mature enough to receive input in our lives so that we can grow in our faith. And we shouldn't be touchy. Whether we come to church or read the Bible or pray, we should be growing in our faith. We should never get stuck. We should never think that I've arrived. I know so much already. We need God's word to grow. We all know that. Don't we? We need God's grow. That Sunday school song we all learned as kids, or some of us learned as kids, read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow. That's truth. So many people I find are stuck in their faith. They haven't grown in years because they do not love God's word. It's a secondary thing. If God's word is your primary focus, growth will follow. When the Spirit of God brings the Word of God alive in our hearts, growth follows. That's why we come to church, and that's why we attend Bible studies, isn't it? These are opportunities to grow. And don't miss out on these opportunities. The Bible study, I tell you, people underestimate the power of a Bible study. Where different people talk about these passages or whatever you guys are busy with, and I hear, I learn from another person that comes from a different angle that I'm not coming from. And I learn, I grow in my faith because we're learning from one another. And if you're not in a Bible study, my dear friend, you are missing out on a growth opportunity. It's a fact. Note that Paul says here, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. We need one another to grow. Yes, God tests our faith and He grows us through these tests. Our faith is increased and the Spirit of God helps us to grow as we read the Word of God. But we also grow through interaction with one another. To be exposed to preaching tonight, hopefully you will grow in your faith as you hear the word of God. So he, Paul, wants to see them again so that he can supply what is lacking. Paul supply what is lacking in their faith. And that's important to see. He wants to strengthen their faith and teach them and model to them what it means to follow God. So we have a role to play as brothers and sisters. That's a term that's old-fashioned, isn't it? Brothers and sisters. When I say that, you think I'm older than I look. I think that's something that we need to rediscover again. That we are indeed brothers and sisters. And we need one another to grow. Otherwise, we will lack in our faith. If you never come to church, if you never interact with anyone, you will never grow in your faith. 1 Corinthians 12, we know so well. Now there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And then verse 7, listen to this. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We all have been given gifts that we must use to encourage one another, to grow this body, to build up the kingdom of God. Now there's a great misunderstanding I find as well on how God wants us to grow in our faith and how he wants to use us as we grow our faith and we grow the faith of others. Many Christians think that I'm never gonna get involved in ministry anywhere until I get to a certain point where I've grown spiritually. I'm not sinning that much anymore and I feel like I know the Bible more. That's never gonna happen if that's your philosophy. Growth will never take place. If it takes place, it'll be very slow. The moment you are regenerated by God's Spirit gives you a divine enablement to serve gifts that we must use to encourage one another and to strengthen one another's faith. So you might be sitting here tonight and you have the gift of teaching and we're looking for someone to teach Sunday school. We're looking for someone to help with youth on a Friday. And you might be that person with that gift. And there are many other gifts. Whatever your gifts are, let's use it and you'll see the growth like never before, not only in your own life, but in the lives of others. And those around you. Well, he continues to pray, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. That is good theology, by the way. Good theology. First of all, we see that it's one of the passages in the Bible where we see that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is on the same level. Do you see that there? It's not just that God the Father now... May our God and Father himself and the Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. Wonderful. But what it shows us more than anything is Paul's belief in the sovereignty of God that is still up to God to make a way for us to come. So we must accept the sovereignty of God, and if God says no, it's fine, but it's good theology. I'm not going to talk much about it, but I couldn't let that go. Then Paul goes on to say, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. I said earlier that we are family. As Christians, we are family. Even in the early, if you look at the early church, it was a diverse bunch of people, different people. Rich people, poor people, slaves, masters, Jews, Gentiles, different people. And it's still true today. I look at you guys I stand on the stage and I look down at you guys. We're different people. You know, we're also diverse. We're a different bunch of people. And that's the wonder of church. I would never mix with some of you if we weren't Christians. I'll be honest enough to say that. Some of you, I would just wave and we won't ever have conversations. We've got nothing in common. But when we become Christians, something miraculous happens in our hearts. The love of God is poured out in our hearts. And now I love you because we are family. And you know what? We don't become family as we go along. Immediately, in that moment when I become a Christian, you are my brother, you are my sister. Often when people come to see me in the office and we help them, we counsel them, they ask me, can we give you money? What does it cost? And I want, no. No, man. We're family. We're family. This is what family do. We are there for one another. Yesterday we attended a wedding, old Zoe and Hendra got married, and you know what was wonderful to see? Their small group was there, the Bible study was there, they invited all their Bible study friends. I've never seen that at a wedding. And it was to me just such a wonderful indication of the love that we should have for one another, the how we should be a family. Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I loved you. You are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If we all were the same and we loved one another, that really wouldn't surprise the world, because we were all the same. We had the same interest. But when different people from different places who are very different from one another love one another, that surprises the world. That makes the world pay attention, because it's not normal. It's not normal. And that's why Jesus said, people will know that you are my disciples when you love one another, because it doesn't work that way in the world. How do you love one another? Well, just as I loved you. Man, that's another level, isn't it? I'm not sure that I always love people as Jesus loves people. How about you? Jesus sacrificed everything. He humiliated himself. And the Bible tells us that it was his choice. He wasn't forced to do it. He sacrificed his life. He suffered. He paid the price. He died like a criminal because he loved me and you. That's the way we should love one another. Political parties in our country divide, don't you think? You know, when I hear politicians talk, they're always trying to divide, trying to win votes. And so they try and divide us along racial lines and economic lines and all different kind of things. The list probably goes on to infinity. And we hear these messages from the world, and sometimes we get caught up, don't we? Sometimes you say, oh, yeah, that guy's right. I don't like those people. I don't like that what's going on there. Well, let me remind you tonight, child of God, that we need to be different. We can't be the same. We are family. And we ought to love one another with an authentic, genuine, intentional love. That's different from the world. White people loving black people. Black people loving white people. Rich people loving poor people. Poor people loving rich people. Young people loving old people. Old people loving young people. No strings attached. I even need to love Manchester United fans. It's really tough. It's difficult. But we love one another not because we are worthy, or that person deserves it, or that person is worthy of it. We love them because God has poured out his love in our hearts and has commanded us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's the command, isn't it? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Man, if you have issues that stand in the way, that's a stumbling block, that's making it difficult for you to love your brother or your sister, get rid of it. Get rid of it. That's not what God wants. Whenever we get together as Christians, we should focus on loving others and denying ourselves. That's what Jesus did. When you come to church, you don't just expect people to love you and to welcome you and to just take care of you. No, you need to love others, love on others. Let them experience the love. Smile. You know, I read an article a while back about the church did a survey like ours. And one of the things on the survey, people said, we would love people to smile more at church. I thought, that's sad, isn't it? You know, we should smile more at church. Be loving, greeting people. Not just, you know, walking around like someone stole your breakfast or your lunch. But really smiling and loving people. It's those little things that start friendships. John, in 1 John 4:20 tells us, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Strong words. As a father myself, I hate it when my kids fight. I absolutely hate it. I want to kill them when I fight. Not really kill them, but, you know, it upsets me. I can't take it. I remember I had friends in school. This brother and sister hated one another. I mean, not like brothers and sisters. We fight. That's normal, by the way. But they couldn't stand one another. They absolutely hated to be in one another's presence. And that was, I always looked at that and I thought, what went wrong in that house? That's not the way it should be. Well, we can't be together as Christians in a church and not love one another. How about that difficult member? That other one that you always try and avoid. I would start praying for them. By the way, that's a good secret. Pray for people and God changes your heart. We need to model this love, not just talk about this love. It's easy to say, I love you all. I love you all. But you call me 2 o'clock in the morning. Listen, yeah, I've got a problem. And you like, you sense this guy's upset with you. That's when love gets real, isn't it? When you need someone. There's an ask of you. There's a sacrifice that needs to be made. That's when love matters. Guys, it's easy to say we love one another, but we have to model it. And you know, the more we see that modeled, the more we want to become that. So let's challenge one another in that. So when you teach Sunday school or you welcome people at the door or when you're interacting with new folks or when you're having conversations after church in the hall with different people that are different from you, please let us see love displayed. And not just love, but God's love. Because you know what? It's impossible for us to love one another in the way that Christ loved us without Christ's help. But God promises that He will help us. Not just love one another in church, but love everybody. I have to love Julius Malema. Yeah, I know some of you love him. I find it difficult to love him sometimes. I'm honest. Let's get real here tonight. But if I meet Julius in the street tomorrow, I'm not going to key his car. Nah? That's the sinful looky. I'm going to greet him. I'm going to say, how are you, man? Tell me, do you know that Jesus loves you? Because that's the most loving thing I can do for anybody, is introduce him to my friend Jesus, that is the hope of the world. So when you say you love others outside the body of Christ, and you're not sharing the gospel with him, not praying, not working up to that point where you share the gospel with him, do you really love them is my question tonight. Because they're on their way to hell unless someone speaks to them. So let's love those around us as well. And as I close, I read a fantastic quote. Don't know who it's from, but the quote says, the church is the place to be. It's the ground zero of what God is doing in the universe. Isn't that a great quote? This is ground zero for what God is doing in the universe. This is where God is at work. And it's exciting to be part of that. Our devotion to God and His church must be clear, and people must see our faith and our love at work. Even when there's nothing in it for us. Oh, how often we hear people ask, what is in it for me? What's in it for me, man? If Jesus asked that question, there never would have been a cross. So let's not ask what is in it for me. Let's sacrifice for God. And let the Central Baptist be a place where people hear good news of our love and our faith. Amen. Father, we do come to you this evening knowing that we often fail in this regard. It's our sinful nature and the way we are, Lord, that we love ourselves more than anything else. That we care about our own needs and our own priorities more than others, Father. Tonight I pray, Father, that you would just soften our hearts, that your love would just be so evident to us, Father, that we would also, like Jesus, love one another. That we would be a beacon of hope in our city, Father, where people can see folks from different circles of life living in unity, loving one another, because we love Jesus. Oh Lord, we pray that you will strengthen our faith. I pray that we will not remain spiritual babies, but that we will continue to grow and have a hunger for your word, Lord. That a thirst to hear from you, to get the living water from our God. And that when we read your word, Father, your spirit will speak to us and reveal truth to us, and that will cause us to grow even more. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the love of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That really showed us what it means to love. I pray for those here tonight that feels that nobody loves them, nobody cares about them. I pray that they will receive inspiration tonight, Lord, not to wait for others to love them, but to start loving others and to see what God will do. Will you encourage us, Father? We pray for your help. We pray for those who are just depressed tonight, and that you will just show them, Lord, that you are indeed the answer to whatever question they have. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.